Today's program is brought to you by U.S. Wings, by Ave Maria University's Marine Scholars Program, and Village Kitchen, your favorite restaurant in the west side of Ann Arbor and Maple Village Shopping Center. And our program today is dedicated to all our veterans, male and female, from around the world who are serving today and who have served in the past. Merry Christmas and a happy holidays to all of you.
From the studios of Ave Maria Radio in Ann Arbor, this is Veterans Radio. And now, here's your host, Dale Thronberry.
And good morning and a ho, ho, ho to everyone. Welcome back to Veterans Radio on this Christmas Eve 2011. We're so excited to have you here. We're welcoming and we're hoping we'll get a lot of calls from you. We've got guests all lined up for the entire program from Donut Dollies to Navy Chaplains to
Portland, Oregon
to Indiana and everything. So if you want to get in on the action, you can give us a call. Today the number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. Joining me
Our
operator is standing by. And joining me in the studio is my partner, Bob Gould. Bob, hey, happy
holidays. This is number nine. We've passed the 8-year anniversary. This is number nine of our holiday Christmas programming. Number nine, man.
That's a lot.
My marriages all together didn't make that. Sorry. I mean,
well, that's true.
I've known you longer than I have anybody I was married to.
That's what my wife says, too, so I've got to be careful here with what's going on.
How long have you known him? Too long. No.
Too long. Not long enough in a lot of cases.
We have, yeah.
And we've had a great journey, Bob.
Great run.
It's been terrific. And this is our first Christmas without Gary. And so you all have to excuse us if we get a little emotional as we go through the program. Gary loved Christmas, and he is sorely missed by all of us here, that's for sure. See, he can't even talk yet.
I know.
All right, joining us. Let's go right into the program. And we're going to start off with one of our favorite people who feeds us every morning before Veterans Radio. And this is, I hope I don't mispronounce your name, Joe, but I've got Joe Dekes from the Big Boy on Plymouth Road in Ann Arbor, right off the US 23. Joe, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Oh, good morning, guys. How are you doing? Good morning, Bob.
Hello, Joe.
Thank you so much for asking me to be on today.
Well, we wanted to ask you to give out your season's greetings to everyone, and we wanted to thank you for all that you've been doing for Veterans Radio over the last 4 or 5 years now.
It's been at least that, yes.
And we wanted to thank you so much for filling us up every Saturday morning around 7:00 and 7:30. We arrive over at Joe's Big Boy, and anybody is welcome to join us there if you'd like to do that, if you happen to be in the Ann Arbor area.
What are some of the things, Joe, that a veteran can expect when they come to your...
First of all, they can expect a discount if they let us know they're a veteran. We're so appreciative of everything that they have done, how fortunate we are. I was not fortunate enough to serve in the military, but I'll tell you what, every single day I'm very glad that they served for us and continue to serve for us. We're very blessed that people take and dedicate their lives. And I just want to take a minute to say Merry Christmas to everybody and Happy Hanukkah to everybody. I hope everybody's enjoying their holiday season. And Bob and Gary, Bob, I really want to let everybody know how much we do miss Gary.
Yeah.
He was such a gentleman and such a good guy. He did a tremendous amount for every single person he came in contact to, and he was definitely the spirit of Christmas. So, Dale, I know both of you miss him, and I just want to let you take a minute to let you guys know how much we appreciated him also.
Remember the time... Remember the time Joey showed up in his kilt? And he had those hairy, bony legs with those high knicker socks. And only Gary could do that.
But not just that. He was such a gentleman. There was not a time, and I think I'd mentioned to this with you before, that Gary and I shared various views. We talked about many things over the years, many things we agreed on, many things we disagreed on. He was always the most humble guy. He would look at you and just say, well, we'll agree to disagree, and just walk away. He was never argumentative. He was just the type of guy that you wanted to have around you. You were glad to say you got to know him.
Well, I want to say, Joe, that your food is terrific. We get there in the morning when they have the breakfast buffet, but you also have other buffets, correct?
Oh, we have a breakfast buffet. We have a very good soup and salad bar. I'm just very blessed that we've got a business and we can serve the people the way we do. And the fact that we got to know the two of you has been extra special for us, and we certainly appreciate you allowing us to participate on Veterans Radio.
You know, Dale, what's so cool about coming into that big boy, that particular big boy. By the way, that's at US 23 in Plymouth Road, folks. You want to put that down on your agenda when you're coming to Ann Arbor at any time. And don't forget to mention Veterans Radio, and there's a 10% discount. But the place is so darn clean. Everything. And they always have the nice decorations. Joe, I know you put a lot of time in that, and it really is a pleasure.
Well, we do, Bob. We try and make it, my idea of a restaurant, a family restaurant, is to make it feel like home when you come in. And we really have many, many people that are regulars that come in every day, and we try to make them feel like they're part of the family when they come home. And that's the idea of a family restaurant. We own it. It's ours, and we're there all the time. We only own the one, and we're at that restaurant because I do want to get to know people.
Well, we also see a lot of veterans come in there, right,
Dale? They do, because a lot of veterans stay in the local complex. Right nearby, there's a number of different motels around there, and that are, when they go to the VA, they stay in some of those motels and hotels. I wanted to tell one quick story this morning about how God works in mysterious ways. And as I was driving into the big boy this morning, there was this old rattletrap red pickup truck there.
Oh, my goodness.
And Gary had an old red rattletrap
pickup
truck. And I'm going, what? And the guy who came out to get in the truck, luckily, was a little bit more heavy set and shorter, but I was just mesmerized by that truck. I couldn't even get out of the car. I'm looking for all of his bumper stickers that he always had.
Oh, I love that. New York Times to the left of Lenin.
And all those things. Well, Joe, I want to thank you so very much for helping us out here on Veterans Radio, and of course, we want to do everything we can to help your business continue to grow and prosper. So have a very prosperous happy new year, Joe.
Thank you, and God bless both of you, and anything we can do at any time for any veteran, please let us know. We're glad to help.
Thank you very much.
We'll do that, Joe. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Right now, we're going to take a quick break, and we want to talk a little bit about our Marine Scholars Program. We want to remind you folks out there that this is an opportunity. If you are a Marine or if you're just a military person and you want to go to school down at Auburn Marine University,
check it out.
They'll coordinate your GI Bill along with all the other possibilities of scholarships and so forth, so you don't have to pay any extra money to go to school there. So we'll be right back after this message. Merry Christmas to everyone.
You have honorably served the United States and the Marine Corps in times of peace and war. Now we would like to serve you. The Marine Scholars Program covers the total cost of attending Ave Maria University. By combining resources from the Ave Maria University Marine Scholars Funding, federal financial aid entitlements, and the GI Bill, the benefits are granted for the duration of the recipient's study at Ave Maria University, contingent upon good conduct and good academic standing. The Marine Scholars Program is open to all reserve and active component Marines and other combat veterans of Operation Enduring Freedom and Operation Iraqi Freedom who have honorably served our country. Please visit us online at www.avemaria.edu or call the Assistant Director of Admissions at 239-280-2552. You helped us. Now let us help you. Semper Fi.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And it truly is the most wonderful time of the year.
It is. We got a little snow last night.
We did get a little snow. Not a big white Christmas, but it certainly is nice to see
all
a little
dust. You know what they do in
there.
Florida? They have contests. I was there, Christmas time, and you get a dump truck full of snow. They get it from the skating rinks.
Right.
And you get a dump truck. They come out and dump it, and of course the kids play, and that's what they do in Florida.
That's really kind of cool.
We could send them some more in January. That's
I'm sure that we'll
February is a good time to do that.
We were just listening to Andy Williams there, one of our old favorite songs for those people our age out there. It's the most wonderful time of the year, and I have our next guest is somebody who brought cheer to veterans and active duty military when she was a donut dolly in Korea and in Vietnam. And so I want to welcome back to our program Joanne Puffer-Kotcher, whose book is called Donut Dolly. And Joanne, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so very much. We were talking earlier, and you wanted to tell us a little bit about the difference between Christmas in Korea and Christmas in Vietnam.
Yes, it was polar opposites. In Vietnam, the men were not fighting. They were sitting there as a deterrent to invasion by China. The troops had been there for 10 years.
This was in Korea, correct?
This was in Korea, right.
Okay.
When I was there, it was 1964, and the truce was 1952, so they'd been sitting there for 10 years. People at home had forgotten all about the Korean War, and the soldiers sitting there had too much time to think. They had to be alert all the time in case there was an attack by China, and there were incidents every once in a while, just enough to keep everybody off balance. And the soldiers were bored, but they were also scared, lonely, homesick. They were 18 years old. They were away from home for the first time. Korea is so different from America.
Mm-hmm.
You can't forget for an instant that you're a long way from home. So for our program for Christmas, we took Christmas music and decorations. We went to the mess halls, and we invited the soldiers to come and help decorate the mess hall for Christmas while we played the music. That's what we would do at home to feel Christmas spirit.
Sure.
Well, the men just sat there. They were so homesick. We had to drag them out of their chairs to get them to participate. We never had to do that. Everything we did made it worse. They were just too homesick to care.
Wow. And how would you compare that to it being in Vietnam at Christmas time?
In Vietnam, everybody was very busy. It was just the opposite. When they got to Christmas, it was a break. It was a chance to rest. I made a program using a best of. I picked all the best activities that had gone over the best in the last few weeks and put them together in a program. And the men loved it. They laughed. They shouted. People kept poking their heads in from outside the mess hall trying to find out what all the noise was about. They appreciated it very, very much, and that's what really made them happy. My conclusion is, if you're away from home for Christmas, the way to keep from being lonely and sad is to be busy, to get busy and decorate and do things for somebody else, and the way to get a bad thought out of your head is to replace it with another thought.
I think that's true. I've been reading this book, and this is a little digression, but another one about healing and fighting type of thing. And if you can keep positive thoughts in your mind, if you dwell on those more than the negative, you'll be able to survive a little bit better. I know that everybody who's been away from home on Christmas, you know, you feel a little down. But if you look back at some of the great things that happened, you know, whatever your traditions were in your family, you know, try to focus on those a little bit more. And when you get home, they'll be there for you. And that's what we want to make sure. We're here waiting for all of our troops to return home. We can hardly
Absolutely.
Wait to get them all here. Now, Joanne, I want to thank you so very much for coming on to Veterans Radio. Again, her book is Donut Dolly, and she just picked up a worldwide distributor. I'm so excited for you.
Ooh, yeah.
And I hope that we had some little play in that.
I have a question. This is Bob Gould.
Hello.
Hello, one of the partners here. And was that part of the USO, the Donut Dollies?
Oh, the Donut Dollies, we were Red Cross.
Our
mission was to raise morale, to be a sister or a girl next door, to remind people of home, and help people remember that the people at home really did care about them, that somebody cared and had sent us to with that message to make them to raise morale.
Well, that's interesting, because if you're ready to write the check this holiday season, I think we just took care of that.
The
Red Cross did things like that, they're probably doing something similar today. That would be...
Well, I don't know what they're doing today, but I do know that this was a very worthwhile program and was only overseas, it has ended.
Yeah, it was terrific, Joanne, and all of us who were in Vietnam, Korea, and World War II are so grateful to you for putting your lives on the line and going over there and trying to pick up our spirits. I greatly appreciate that. Joanne, I want to thank you again so much for being on Veterans Radio, and a very, very Merry Christmas to you and your family.
God bless.
Thank you. Good to be here.
All righty. Right now, we're going from Michigan to Indiana, because in Indiana, we've got another good friend of Veterans Radio, and that's Mike Mullins. And Mike, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Good morning, Dale.
How are you doing?
Well, I'm just drinking a cup of coffee and enjoying your stories.
Now, you were in Vietnam when?
1968.
Oh.
Ooh, Tet.
One of my favorite years.
I got there right after Tet. I was a Tet replacement.
There you go. And who were you with?
199th Light Infantry.
I remember those guys. You were in that area. I know what area you were working in.
All of it, too.
All of it. I know. All over the place. Well, Mike is a writer extraordinaire and a storyteller extraordinaire. And I asked Mike to be on the program today to talk a little bit about what he does or doesn't remember about Christmas in Vietnam and some other little stories that he might have. So, Mike, what do you remember, if anything? You were on your way to R&R, weren't you?
Yes. I know that they kept us busy right up until the time. You know, I've been looking on the web at some of the Christmas memories lately, and some of my friends have shared some pretty neat videos about some of the bunker setups and some of the tent complexes and things like that back at some of the fire bases.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have those luxuries. We were all out in the field, and there were a lot of guys made do. I even saw a Budweiser and a Blatt's Christmas tree, empty beer cans on one of the YouTube postings. And, you know, guys were very inventive. They made Christmas out of anything they could make it. And I think your previous guest hit it right on the head. They had a moment, they turned it into something special. And my particular case, I was just waiting to go on R&R, and I actually flew out of Tonsonute on Christmas Day. And so I was thinking about getting out of country, and that was about as big a gift as you could get. You know, to climb on a big silver bird, you know, that was Santa's sleigh to me. So I headed for Taipei.
Well, we won't go into what happened on your Christmas vacation in 1968. We'll save that for a college introductory English course, right?
Well, I actually had I got landed, got sorted out. My uncle, I had an uncle at Tonsonute. He was on his second or third tour, and he hooked me up with a friend of his who was a senior NCO, who kind of made sure I didn't stray when I got in Taipei, and he got me into a hotel, settled in, and my next day I actually went to a big kind of a Christmas dinner at one of the nice hotels there in town.
My goodness.
So they had a huge Christmas program the day before, so they were still set up for that. So I actually did have a kind of a after-Christmas dinner bash and went to a musical and those kinds of things. So there was a lot of Christmas music. Of course, it had a little different accent than I was used to. At 19, I was still kind of remembering the way the Christmas carols were sung at home. They're a little bit different in Chinese.
That's true. Or the Filipino bands and the other groups that would come through the from the USO that would show up at either the enlisted or officers' clubs, and they would sing the Christmas carols with the accent, and it was great because everybody would join in singing the Christmas carols.
Oh, it was loud and rowdy, and you know, it was probably as good a spirit and as full of joy as any Christmas you'd find anywhere, because it was so important and your senses were so heightened.
That's very true, and I think that when you were doing that, all of us were so thankful that we were still alive and that we got an opportunity to celebrate with this. And we're talking with Mike Mullins, and I wanted to just do a little promo here for you, Mike. He's an award-winning author, and a couple of his books that you need to get a hold of, folks, if you get a chance, is Vietnam in Verse, Poetry for Beer Drinkers. And you've also written Kings of the Green Jelly Moon, the book. And you've got a new book coming out, don't you? Out of the Mist, Memories of War.
Yeah, in fact, it's out and available. And I was fortunate enough to have gotten the Founders Award with that book at our last conference in October.
That is very true. You wanted to tell a story about a friend of yours that...
Yeah, his story is in that book. He got drafted into the Marines. And,
which is unknown of, pretty much.
Yeah,
during
I think there were 42,000 during Vietnam who were actually drafted into the Marines. And Dave told a story within his story about being at a Bob Hope show near Da Nang. And one of the great things the VC were good at and the NVA was disrupting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was one of their psychological warfare games. And they had gotten a hold of some of the tickets to the Bob Hope show.
Wow.
And duplicated them. And spread them throughout the Air Force and Marine population in that area. So when everybody showed up to the Hope show, there were twice as many people there as should have been.
Right, and how many were the good guys?
Yeah, and so everybody thought they had the legitimate tickets. And Dave was there. He said it was a brawl that should have made the Guinness book. He said he never saw anything like it in his life. He said wasn't very much of a positive attitude at the time, because every MP within 20 miles was called in to break it up. But, you know, you get a bunch of jarheads and Air Force boys fighting over a seat on the ground to listen to Hope, Christmas cheer kind of goes out the window.
Sounds like one of those old black and white World War II movies, you know. As soon as one branch of the service came into the bar, they would just destroy it, whatever
yeah.
happened to me.
He said it was a riot. They were dragging people out and hauling them off and trying to keep them from killing each other to just get a seat on the ground to hear Hope.
We're talking with Mike Mullins here on Veterans Radio, and if you'd like to get in on the call, give us one at 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Tell us more about your friend.
Well, you know, I just got an email from one of my buddies. You know, we get to this time of year, several of us still talk frequently, and we just reminisced about Thanksgiving a couple of weeks ago and trying to remember where we were. And there are six or eight of us that get together every 2 years, and we were just together in October in Arlington, and I've been to the wall several times, but this last time was a special time for me. That's the first time I'd ever been with any of my buddies from Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And it's harder and harder each year to remember the small details.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
You know, two out of the six of us that were in Arlington were in the hospital from wounds during Thanksgiving and Christmas, and recovering from having been hurt badly in action. And, you know, people like your previous guests and the nurses do everything they can and still do.
Mm-hmm.
To make those guys have a special time during this. And we need to remember those people because their efforts are just incredible.
You wonder how many people survived because of those women.
Oh, my God. There is no way to put a value on it or even make a guess. They carry, guys like you and I, we carry them in our hearts forever.
Yes, we do.
And they don't even have a name, but they've got a face and they've got wings.
They do. It's like something I heard the other day. The majority of Americans believe in angels. And I think once you've been in combat and you see that nurse looking over you, you probably do too.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely do. And, we try to remember a day like, today, tonight, tomorrow, Christmas Day, the military always, they tried so hard to make it, to give you a moment to do something special.
Yeah.
And, how much, you remember the hot chow we used to get?
Yeah, they would bring out wherever you were.
I don't even remember what kind of meal we might have had at Thanksgiving. But it's still hard to bake. You can put a ribbon on a bucket full of green eggs, and they're still green eggs, but the bow helps.
It certainly does. Well, Mike, I want to thank you so very much. I just wanted to point this out. We got a call from Mark in Naples, Florida, who said, thank you to the Donut Dolly. So, Joanne, if you're still listening, he says he saw you. Maybe it was you. When he was in Vietnam, so he wanted to thank Joanne personally.
All the way from Naples.
Florida.
Yeah. We have an affiliate down there.
Yes, we do. WDEO-FM down there. So, Mike, anyway, thank you so very much for being on Veterans Radio today. Enjoy your grandchildren and have a great Christmas.
I've actually got a daughter-in-law who has been awake since 3:30 this morning with labor pains.
Oh, no,
oh,
a new one.
Oh, my goodness.
what a Christmas present that
would
be.
Oh, yeah.
Her husband, my son's been in 19 and a half years, and he's going back to Afghanistan. It's trip number 3 there. He's made one to Iraq.
Oh, my goodness.
So next Christmas, he won't be with us.
Well, we got it, Mike.
He'll be over there.
Off the air, we need to talk to you. I'd like to talk to you.
Okay.
At some point. Thank you so very much, Michael.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to
all you veterans that are out there listening. And we love you, Dale, for remembering everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Boy, that was a ringing,
no
pun intended, endorsement.
It was.
Really was. Yeah, you love to hear that stuff.
You do. And Mike is such a great guy, and his stories are so funny. I mean, I've had the opportunity and the honor, I think, and privilege to sit down and talk with him at two conferences, and he keeps me in hysterics the whole time. I mean, you can tell by his voice and his style. He's just got this nice, kind of laid-back, almost Tennessee Ernie Ford type of delivery, and it's just great. And I thank him so very much for being on. And I got... Nina's running our board today.
Oh, she's great.
And Nina's doing a great job. She's going solo, so she's no longer the new person.
She has six arms.
I think so. She sort of looks like an octopus in there.
Yes.
Going back and forth
and
everything.
And she takes copious notes.
She does. And she's trying to... We have this little system here where she types things and sends me messages back and forth of who's on what line and who's on the phone and so forth. So we want to thank Nina very much for being on the program and helping us out today. We can't wait to finish up the conversation. We've got about a minute till we get to the bottom of the hour. So if you want to give us a call and let us know what you think about spending Christmas in the military, it's 877-573-7825. That's the number. I can't ever remember. Why?
I know. There's too many sevens and fives. To get them all lined up the way that they're supposed to be.
Well, I think it's kind of cool, and as I said, we want you to call us in. This is Christmas. This is a very, very special time for all people that are in the military that are away from home, because it is. I don't know. It's different than being away from home in college or something like that. You're so far away. In Vietnam, we're 10,000 miles away. In Iraq, Afghanistan, they're 8,000 miles away, and the terrain is something that you've never seen in your life, and it's just. We loved getting the packages from people, and all of you that sent out those packages, I know a lot of veterans organizations have been sending packages out for the last couple of months to make sure that they get there. We are so grateful to all of you who served in Iraq and that you're finally out of that place.
Out of there.
We're thankful that you have come home safely And we're going to be talking to some other vets at the bottom of the hour. Toward the end of the program, we're going to be talking with a Navy chaplain about his adventures during Christmas time in Iraq.
And, folks, we're also going to be talking to Dale because he's got a couple things there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
You're listening to Veterans Radio from our flagship station, WDEO 990 AM in Ann Arbor, WMAX 1440 AM in Saginaw, WDEO 998.5 FM in Naples, Florida, and on the internet at AveMaria.net.
Check it out, it's the Terminator. Hey, when'd you get back, huh?
Did you have to shoot anyone?
Why are you so distant? Are you not happy to see me?
So what's the deal? You gonna get a job now or what?
Why are you being so jumpy? Put all that stuff behind you, okay?
No one knows what it's like to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan unless they were there. Join other veterans at communityofveterans.org because we know where you're coming from. Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Okay, back to Veterans Radio. It's Bob Gould. I've just switched seats, and I am now the pilot right now. The co-pilot is Dale Thronberry. We actually climbed over each other, didn't we, to get to this?
Absolutely.
And we didn't land the plane. We flew it anyway, but everybody got a big shock. Anyway, Bob Gould right here, Veterans Radio. We're doing our annual, and it happens to be our ninth annual Christmas program. And right now, I'd like to talk with somebody. A good friend of mine, somebody I grew up with, has been going back a long time, and that is Mr. Tom Grinnell. Do we know which one he's at? Good. Tommy, we're from Detroit. I'm calling Portland, Oregon. You are a regular listener, I know by your emails. How are you doing out there?
Nice to talk with you. I'm doing fine.
Okay, we'll have to give Tom a little bit more volume, eh? Nina, there we go. Tom, you were in Vietnam. You were an artilleryman, and I believe you were at Khe Sanh. What was the time like during the holiday season? What do you folks do?
Well, let me correct you. I was at An Khe. I was in the Central Highlands.
There we go.
And we were only in country for less than 2 months. We offloaded. I don't think that term was used at that time. We came ashore at the end of October. And so Christmas was less than 2 months after we had landed. And I unlike the Donut Dolly, we didn't get a rest. Christmas Day 1965 for us in the field was just like any other work day. I was reminded that looking at my scrapbook of that we had just had our permanent quote unquote mess hall erected. And we did have Christmas decorations put up with a Christmas tree. I don't know where these folks got this stuff. But we came in from whatever our work detail was, and we ate out of mess kits. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't haute cuisine. I see the ketchup bottle on the table here.
Ketchup bottle and everything.
Yeah. We came in, at least our fatigues looked clean. I'm not in the picture, those old style green fatigues. But we just had a regular meal. My story is that when for Thanksgiving when I came in, I don't remember what happened on Christmas, but on Thanksgiving when we came in, we were working, and I said to the first sergeant, I said, God, I said it's raining. I said we're having to work, and it's Thanksgiving. And he looked at me, and he said, be thankful you got food. He said, now get back to work. And that was what...
Welcome.
Yeah. And I my hat's off to the guys that got to see Bob Hope. I think he came through around that time. I was on a detail, and I remember driving the water truck past the compound where he was performing. They had set up this temporary... chain link with canvas shields around, and as close as I got to Bob Hope was about 200 or 300 yards away, and I heard him tell a joke, and I heard the laughter.
And that was it.
We didn't get invited to Bob Hope. We worked. So that's my, that's my story.
Like
I'm sticking to it.
We worked 130 hours a day.
Tom, did you get the packages arrive there in Vietnam from home for Christmas?
Well, you know, yes, they did arrive, and I have the mailing. I have copies of my, or I have some old Christmas cards. My mother used to send what we used to call care packages. Unfortunately, they were usually crunched and everything else. And I did get a package from the state of Michigan, and I see on the date on here it says 10 January 66. So we got it after Christmas. You didn't necessarily, the mail was fairly quick, but it was a little delayed. But we did get packages. I must say that the support was pretty good.
Tom, what outfit were you with?
I was with Charlie Company C Company, 6th Battalion, 14th Field Artillery. It was a 175 self-propelled outfit, and we, as I say, we landed in Quy Nhon, and there was no port, so we had to go with landing craft, and our equipment came in December.
Did you decorate the big gun for Christmas? No.
Not that I remember. I don't think so. We may have even fired a few rounds. I don't know. No, we didn't. We didn't take any break. The only breaks we got were the so-called ceasefires, and then we still got incoming. So you know, you didn't. There was no real break from being on alert.
Is there something that you'd like to say to your anybody in your outfit that might be listening, and to other artillerymen?
Well, geez, can't think of anything.
Well, just like happy holidays, that'll work.
Happy
right?
holidays, yeah. Merry Christmas, yeah. I know, you know, I served with a lot of great guys.
Well, we want to thank you for coming on the program. I know it's 6 o'clock in the morning out there in Portland. Do you have any snow?
No. It's cold, but no snow. No snow this year. No, it's been kind of dry December.
Well, God bless you, and you and I will be talking sometime soon. And thank you for being on the program, and thank you for being a contributing supporter, Tom.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Okay. God bless. Bye bye.
Wow, I go a long way back with that guy. I was about 8 years old when I met him. Can you believe that?
Wow. You know, it's amazing.
60 years ago.
That's what happens when you get older. But the idea is that you guys were able to connect again, and
especially with the program.
Yeah, you know,
he listens every
week. With the program, and I know that I've heard from a lot of people that I served with in Vietnam that wondered where I was and heard about it, you know, through our program. So I think it's terrific.
Well, my next guest is someone who served from Dexter High School in the U.S. Marine Corps, 1967 to 69. He was in Vietnam from 1968 to 1969 with the 2nd Battalion, 26 Marines. Ooh, rah! His name is Marv Rivers. Marv, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good morning, Bob, Dylan, Nina, and Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you very much, Marv. Well, Marv has been somebody that's worked on my automobiles. What is it, about 40 years, Marv?
Pretty long time.
Something like that. And then we got talking, a while back, and about Marv's experience in Vietnam. In fact, we've been talking about the VA, and Marv now gets his health care from the VA. I'd like to think I had a little hand in that. But Marv, what do you recall when you were in Vietnam about Christmas?
Well, Bob, the 2nd Battalion, 26th Marines, were afloat, so we did missions on land. We had just finished up Operation Mead River. We had a couple days on board ship, and then we went back out for Operation Valiant Hunt. So Christmas was on land during the operation. And we have to remember that there was a ceasefire, supposedly, between the United States and North Vietnam. So whenever we had one of our holidays, they would really pour it on with the rockets and the mortars and stuff. And then when they had their holiday, we would observe it, but then they would really pour it on with the rockets and the mortars. I can't imagine exactly what I ate on Christmas Day, but it would have been sea rations, and I'm sure it would have been everybody's favorite, beans and weenies, and probably followed up with
ham and...
no, not those.
So what was that? Ham and... Lima beans. That's
ham and lima beans. Yeah. No, beans and weenies were the new sea rations, and that's the ones everybody loved.
That's right. You could get a lot of money trading that stuff.
Oh yeah, gotcha. Yeah. But I ate the ham and lima beans. I loved them. They were great. Yeah. So
no
that
taste.
Now, did you get packages in the field?
Yes, we did. Although the problem is not being at a regular base, or you didn't have a hooch. You lived out underneath the rain and the stars and everything. Things didn't last long, like mostly due to the humidity, but as soon as you got something, you shared it with all your comrades anyway. So, and you couldn't quite haul it around because the next day you were up and you were moving to another area or doing something, you know, so it was extra weight. So we consumed it as fast as we could.
Anything else you could recall?
The 2 days, there was a couple of days where between the two operations, we're on board ship, and that's where you learn about your new mission, and you know, you get rearmed and stuff like that. They down where we were living in the quarters on board ship, they were playing Christmas music, and two guys were dancing, and it's straight out of like a World War II movie. It was Lance Corporal Blackburn and Corporal Blasek. They were artillery forwards, and they were hamming it up for the camera. It was I still got that picture today. It was quite awesome, actually.
Well. What, Dale, you have something?
No, I don't. I was just
okay.
I know that Marv evidently was in country when I was there, and I missed seeing you there, Marv. I'm sorry.
I waved at you.
That must have been you. That was you. Have a great holiday.
Yeah, you, Marv, you have yourself a blessed day. Thank you very much for being on the program, and you and I will be talking soon.
You betcha, Bob, and I want to thank you guys for all you do on Veterans Radio, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
You're welcome.
Thank
okay.
You.
Dale, we've only got a few minutes. I know you have a story.
Well, I was trying to figure out what I had done at Christmas, because I arrived in December of 1968, on the 11th of December, or 12th of December. And so I was just starting to fly and getting, you know, broken in. I was the new guy and at that time. And I went back and checked the flight records, and it showed that I flew 6 hours on Christmas Day, 1968, and three of them were at night. It was night flying, and I'm going, I wondered what the heck I was doing. So I was checked out with some buddies and stuff like that, and they said, well, you were running around trying to chase a reindeer and some sled that you saw running across the sky, and you figured that, you know, it was your mission to, you know, to light up and let Santa Claus land everywhere that he could in Vietnam. And I just thought that was kind of weird that I had 3 hours of night flying, because I don't remember night flying that much when I was over there, at least, especially when you're brand new in country, they don't trust you at night.
You have a little question, a little comment on the Bob Hope Show.
Well, I missed the Bob Hope Show because that was the day before, and I was trying to find the date of the when Bob Hope was in Long Bend in 1968, and I know that I was flying because we were flying around Long Bend as a protective flight, I guess. It's like talking with Ron Miller last week. He was flying gunships around at the similar same time, because I could see there were thousands of GIs in the amphitheater, I guess is what they used at Long Bend, and there was this little circle down at the bottom, and you could barely make out the people, but you could see, you know, people were dancing and singing, and every once in a while you'd see everybody lean back and laugh, so you knew he had told one of his jokes. So it was a great experience, and I did get a nice box of cookie crumbs from my mother through the mail. It started off as cookies. Anyway, we need to take a break as I'm watching the clock.
Well, that's so, yes.
So we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Father Ron and talk a little bit about a Navy chaplain and what he had to do when he was in Iraq. We'll be right back.
I'll be home for Christmas. Plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on.
does that remind me of a time at Fort Riley, and Sergeant goodness, I just did a complete blank. Yeah, Charlie Moy, there we go, Charlie. Yeah, wow. That our first Christmas, and it was my first Christmas away. First of all, none of us were going to be able to go, none of us. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, they got an allotment. Aha. So how did we figure out who was going to go? Well, they got a deck of cards out. If you got a black card, guess what? You stayed home. If you got a red card, you got to have leave. Well, they did this about three times. And what was left was wasn't even a skeleton crew. I mean, we were nothing that was left. Three of us, four of us, and our job was to walk guard. So I remember laying down on my bunk. I mean, I'm not going home, right? And it was Christmas Eve, and the barracks was dark. I was taking a break in between guard. I'm sleeping in laying down on my bunk, my top bunk. And they played this. Somebody had the radio on, and they played this. And I heard somebody start to sniffle. Oh, Lord! And it was infectious. We all just kind of got, well, that was it, right? That was it.
I mean,
somebody's got to do the job. Somebody's got
to
be there.
Somebody always has to be there. In fact, I lucked out in 1967. I was just coming out of basic training in December of... I ended up doing 7 weeks instead of 8 weeks because it bumped up against Christmas. And they said, okay, you guys are done. Go home. And now, okay, I'll be happy to do that. So, you know, and again, of course, a year later, we're off doing our little adventures overseas. And if it's true, like Mike had pointed out when we were talking with Mike Mullins, that people made Christmas trees out of anything. And, you know, we would... Our relatives or friends would send us decorations, and so we would have Christmas lights and banners, and people would make stuff out of anything just to celebrate, you know, the joy of what Christmas is.
And I do believe, too, it was a way of reconnecting with home. It had been how many months prior to, and it was our different home. Certainly was not like it was when I was home. No, I remember my mother. No. I remember my mother. I got to say this, folks. This is great. What my mother said when I got drafted and I was down at Fort Wayne, I'm going in. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. You're supposed to be there at 7. It's like 5 to 7. And she kissed me on the cheek and she said, "Now you do everything the sergeant tells you to do." Like, you know, like you got a choice, right? Yeah, Ma, sure.
That's it's funny when you talk about the influence that our parents had, and it was a different generation.
Yeah,
we understand
yeah.
that. But when I went down to Fort Polk, Louisiana for basic training, I was flying on an airplane for the first time in my life, and my mother made me wear a suit.
Yes. Well,
4 hours, right?
Yes,
you know, okay.
Yes.
The drill sergeant really liked the idea of the suit.
Yeah, because they would know who you are. And what would they do?
They just called me Suit.
Suit.
After that.
So out of nowhere would be Suit, drop and give me 25, right?
Right, yeah.
You got muscled very quickly. Dale, I know that our next guest is somebody that you've invited to be on the program.
I have, and I'm anxious to have him back on the program. And it is Father Ron, and Father Ron Moses Camarda. And Father Ron was on our program last year, I believe it was, and his book was called Tear in the Desert. And I'm going to let Father Ron tell his whole story, but he was in Iraq as a Navy chaplain. Father Ron, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Oh, it's so great to be back with you, Dale.
It's such a pleasure to hear your voice again, too. You have been a very busy young man.
Yes, indeed. In fact, the book actually, they're turning it into a movie, and the screenwriter is Martha Bolton, who wrote for Bob Hope for 15 years.
My goodness.
I guess my story needs a little humor.
Well, you know, you can tell our audience what your main job was when you were in Iraq. And when were you there?
I was there from September of 2004 until March of 2005. And we were in the battle for Fallujah. And it started basically the day that we got there. We had casualties coming into Bravo Surgical. I was a MASH unit with the Marines. And then we were there. I received personally 1,500 casualties and 81 deaths.
Wow.
And the actual Fallujah battle ended on the 23rd of December, but I didn't know that. And while I was there, I They would come in, and I'd always tell them, breathe in, breathe out, and it didn't matter what their faith was. And so I'd been with all the different units, the Army, the Marines, and the Navy corpsmen and stuff. So eventually, by November 21st, I was invited to go into the city of Fallujah. Invited, I kind of like felt they guilted me. Guilted
yeah,
the priest. So we went in there, and just me and my RP, and just before, from that time on, I would go in every week, about seven services I'd have, plus the services at Bravo Surgical. So I prepared midnight mass for, and we were going to do it interdenominational with Lutherans and whoever wanted to go. We had about 400 or 500 packed into this little room where Saddam Hussein used to have some of his meetings. It was the Secretary of Defense was there on the 23rd, 24th actually, and I wanted to ask him some questions, but I held my tongue.
Oh.
But anyways, on Christmas, I had 19 services, and I was in the Humvee, and we had an accident by the last one, when we had finished the last one on our way back to the camp. And then they asked me and my RP to just get out, and we'll come and pick you up. So I didn't even know the battle was over, but in the middle of the desert, they just dropped us off right outside the city of Fallujah. And it was cold, it was rainy, and my RP was really nervous. And eventually they picked us up. We made it for midnight mass. And then the next day, I went into, for Christmas Day, to all the different units. And so finally, I was so exhausted, and they had a little meal for us in this tiny room, probably about 10 by 20, where all the officers were feeding the serving the troops. And one of the guys that knows me, one of the Marines, said, "Padre, come on over here." His name was Dominic, and there's like four of us crammed on this tiny table, and he says, I got this alcoholic wine for you." I says, "You're great." He says, "I didn't get to go to communion. I have it right here." And he says, "Yeah, but I'm not Catholic." I mean, he didn't say I wasn't Catholic. He says, "I just ate." I says, "You can have Eucharist." And I turned to the guy beside me, who was a Navy corpsman, and I said, "Oh, I have my last St. Michael's medal with the Navy emblem on it, and it was given to me as a gift, and I had given out 2,000 of them or so, but this was mine, personal one." And I gave it to him, and he says, "Oh, this is great." He puts it on, and he turns, and I give communion to the kid across from me, Dominic, and "Oh, Holy Night" comes on this, like, cracky radio or something. And then I turn to the corpsman, and I said, "So, by the way, what's your faith background?" And he goes, "Oh, I'm Jewish, and you can't have your medal back." So I said, "Well, you know, you're waiting for the Messiah and everything like that, and Christmas means Savior, and it's the Messiah you're waiting for." He says, "Exactly. You can't have your medal back." But then as I was leaving, they asked me to go see one more guy, and they said, "This guy's on lookout. He really wants to go to Mass." And I said, "Oh, my gosh, I'm just so tired. I can't." He said, "All right, Padre, please." And I said, "Okay." So I went up about 8 flights of stairs, could smell dead bodies and whatever, and it was rainy, it was winter, and my homily for Christmas was, my sermon was, "This has to be the best Christmas ever, or there's something wrong." And I didn't believe it anymore myself, I don't think. And it's on Christmas Day, after all the services, and there's these four guys up in this lookout, there's one guy smoking, and I figured that was the Catholic, and I said, "Who's the Catholic?" "It's him." And I said, "Put that out. Come on over." Here, we went to this empty room, glass and everything, in the city of Fallujah. It was in the headquarters. This 19-year-old Marine, I just looked at him, and I said, "This has to be the best Christmas ever, or there's something wrong," as I'm going through the service. And he looked at me like I was crazy. And because he was just depressed, I could tell. And then, so I said to him, and I gave him the Eucharist, the body of Christ. And he opened up his hands, and I felt like I was putting Jesus in these just filthy hands. There have been so many places, and I knew all the things that go with war and the fog of war. And as I placed the body of Christ in his hands, I felt like I was laying Jesus in swaddling clothes. And then he took it, and he just so reverently put it in his mouth, and I was just breathing, and something was happening to me. And he closed his eyes, and my eyes were closed, and I just started singing, "O Holy Night." And "O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth." And then all of a sudden he started singing, "Long lay the world," and he had this like beautiful operatic voice and the thrill of hope. And then he starts singing, "Fall on your knees." And it was so angelic. It was so beautiful. It was like time stopped, and I was almost embarrassed. He was singing so loud that everyone down in the headquarters would hear him. And I said, "What the hey?" I was totally lost in the moment of Christmas. It was like this most miracle thing. And it almost seemed like the rain stopped, the cold and the darkness was lifting. And when we both finished the song together, I was almost speechless, and I opened my eyes and I could see that his streams of tears down his face, and I had tears down my face. And he opens one of his eyes and he looks at me and he goes, "Yeah, Padre, it is the best Christmas I've ever had." And I said, "Yeah, buddy." And I was like, I'd never been so full of gratitude for a gift that this Marine, I after being recalled and going to be in Iraq, that I couldn't be anywhere else in the whole world. And I think that's what Christmas is about, to realize how human we are, how that love one another is what everyone has to do. And so that's why, and I'd like to tell that to all the veterans. I'm a state chaplain for the VFW in Florida, and it's so hard, and we resist it so much, that the one thing we have in common with all human beings is goodwill for everyone. We love one another. And anytime it's not love, that's what we have the war on. And the war is definitely within. Since I've been back for 7 years from Fallujah, Iraq, I remember that moment. And you would think that would be my best Christmas ever, but every year has always been the best Christmas ever. Mm-hmm. I just thank you for telling the story and supporting the troops, but supporting them with real love, Dale. Veterans Radio, what a great idea. I hope more and more people understand that it's not so much what we financially give or whether we put a ribbon on our cars, it's whether we can simply say, "Thank you, and I'm with you, and I have tears with your loss, but also with the gift that you've received from being called a veteran of our United States of America."
Amen.
Thank you so very much, Father Ryan.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on Veterans Radio, and you have a wonderful and joyous Christmas.
I will. We'll just be singing along.
That's right. It's the best Christmas ever.
Absolutely.
It will be.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you. We'll be talking to you again, I promise.
Praise God.
Thank you.
We've wrapped up another.
Another one. I want to thank Nina especially for running our board today.
Great job.
And she did a wonderful job.
This is her first time solo.
That's right. Nina Golding Diaz. I want to make sure I get her names in there for you. And Bob, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
Again, for 9 years of doing this. And to all of you out there, have a very, very Merry Christmas, and God bless every one of you.